this principle that our Lord lays down here, you see, is still with us and still important to observe. The Jews had direct allegiance to Almighty God. They had rulers, but they were considered, you know, under God. There was a, you know, a religious ceremony installing the king with prayer and psalms. Psalm 2 is one of the psalms that was said at that time. Outside of Israel, there's only the state. And that state has authority, sometimes through election, sometimes through force, sometimes through revolution, whatever. Now, our Lord is in Jerusalem. He's, as you know, the Synoptic Gospels only trace one journey of our Lord from north to south. That's a literary use of geography. Our Lord certainly went more than once up and down the country. He was a devout Jew. So, you know, he was there for Passover and for... But anyway, on this journey toward his passion and resurrection, we gather these intimations of the intensity of the hatred. And now we have these, this attempt, you know, to ensnare him. It's obvious. If he says, pay it, the Romans are not a happy group of occupiers. You know, they're tough. By Roman law, which was imposed on Israel, anybody can be forced to carry some of the Roman soldiers' equipment for a mile. That's why my Lord said, my Lord, somebody forces you to go a mile, go too. So here, he makes this distinction between the state and God. Only Israel could do that, because no other nation worshipped the one true God. So gods were sort of forces, mostly demons, I would think, Jupiter, Zeus, so on and so forth, you see. And so in picking up this coin, he introduced a principle of life which is still with us, all right? Render to Caesar what is Caesar. Pay your taxes, observe the speed laws, do those things that a government is set up to do. But give to God what's God's, and that's never the state's right to take away. And so, as you know, we're engaged right now. The whole HHS mandate would be to give to the state what belongs to God, to help, you know, and finance abortion, euthanasia, birth control. These things God forbids. And therefore, that's why the bishops have to say, we can't do that. Give to God what is God's, you see. Now, when you don't have God, all you've got is the state. And that's this tremendous... the Jews always, and that's why they were always an intractable bunch wherever they were, because they just wouldn't do what the state wanted. They had a whole regiment of Jewish soldiers in the Roman army, but they wouldn't go out and fight on Shabbat. And so this higher principle, and of course now, right now in this country, we're faced with this in so many ways. And the notion is to break the Christians and make them subservient to this more or less Marxist plan. So this text is very important for us. We cannot render to Caesar what is God's. On the other hand, We must render to God what is God's. And do we do that? Is our heart divided? Do we honor him? Do we pray to him? Do we obey him? Do we give to God what is God's? And so this is one of three major conflicts that Mark records in this time in Jerusalem before Judas finally hands him over and he's arrested on the night of Passover, actually. And so the tension is growing. Now, Mark is probably the first writer of a gospel, as far as we could figure out anyway. But he set the pattern. The other two gospels do the same thing. They have put our Lord's life in Nazareth, and then one trip from north to south, heading for Jerusalem, the place of conflict, death, and resurrection. John has a whole other way of dividing up his gospel. There are three trips to Jerusalem, which is probably more accurate. Reflects more what Jesus did, because he was a devout Jew, and he went at least three times a year to Jerusalem. Moral of the story now is what? We have to pray. The American bishops are already on a collision course with the government over the HHS mandate and other things. And this is unheard of in this country, which was founded by religious exiles who came so that they could practice their full commitment to God as Christians. And so we have to pray, because we could be heading for a lot more conflict. And it's astonishing. When you go back and look, I have a great big fat book upstairs like that, going through all the documents of the early days of this country. And the country was founded on Christian principles. There's no doubt about it. In fact, Chesterton once said, America is a nation with the soul of a church. That's how careful we were. Okay.